Blazers won, that kind of sucks. But you've lost to them before, and you lost by less than you did the first couple times.
Progress.
So, in the right direction. We were talking about this earlier. I do not believe how much he's given you the line, everything's fine. It's really quite something.
Development.
That guy just keeps on giving you, everything's fine, and we're moving in the right direction. Despite all the benchmarks, all the posts, all the progress settings, all of them that got set before the season.
All the things the players are saying. How about that?
All of them are so much higher than this. And he just doesn't care. He doesn't want to make you notice those things.
He's not good.
Nope.
The thing is that I heard you talking about a little bit before where you were talking about clean slate, Dan. And I've kind of felt the same way because people...
No, let the record show you made fun of me for the whole clean slate thing.
I could not clean that slate.
People around the Bulls were like, yeah, if you met him, you would really like it. I'm like, And now I'm to the point where I don't want to meet him because the stuff that he says to me is so crazy.
It's so odd. And then I need to be more me because that's what this team needs. You read some of that stuff in Darnell Mayberry's piece today.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like actual crazy person stuff.
It doesn't feel very good, like as a Bulls fan, to not have confidence in the coach of the team. And I don't mean even, like, obviously this year, there are things with Matt Nagy that Bears fans vehemently disagree with. But the idea that he doesn't live up to the lowest standard of being a professional coach is not on the board for us to talk about.
That's true.
There are things that we dislike. There are things that I dislike. But you know that Matt Nagy at least is at the lowest tier of he can coach a team.
Let me put it this way. Not only would no NBA team hire Jim Boylan as a head coach if he were made available today, no Division I college team would hire him either.
Well, especially after what happened in Utah. Yeah. You know, like,
things went rough.
That was a disaster there because they all realized he was crazy and they left.
Well, the other part is this is a guy who kept getting demoted as an assistant. That found himself as first assistant. Oh, now you're a second assistant. Now you're a third
back row.
And now you're the head coach. It's just, it's a lot. Like they have turned on what Uncle Terry would say is the not interested side for me.
Look, you don't have to be some sort of incredibly talented, connected investigative reporter to understand, to ask questions of players, to know people who are in the locker room, to know people around the team. These players see what we're seeing, and the league sees what we're seeing, and players are connected around. Like these Bulls players are getting roasted by their peers because of what's going on here.
Yeah, I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about the Bulls today, but I thought of you guys as I was watching them Wednesday night and Friday night and just being like, oh, that's a shame.
It really is.
That's a real shame. I am going to spend some time talking football on today's show, and there is a happy basketball story in town.
Well, there's in town. Well, there's DePaul.
Uh-huh.
That's a fun one.
They haven't lost yet, right?
They're 8-0 and 2 wins on the road at Big Ten opponents, beating Iowa and Minnesota.
And Illinois looks like they're of interest.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
They've got a large Jamaican man who is...
Is it Bob Marley? Well, he was a short Jamaican.
Yeah, he's larger than life. No, this guy's like 280 pounds and 6'11".
Well,
big.
Yeah.
All I know is the Blue Demons are 8-0 and they have a huge game on Wednesday against Texas Tech. So I haven't seen if the rankings, I don't know if the rankings have come out yet, but they should be at least in the...
Others receiving votes?
At least.
Sure.
If not in the top 25, but they'll get a chance on Wednesday. They'll get a chance against a very good Texas Tech team that is extremely well coached by Chris Beard, who's an amazing basketball coach. So I'm going to talk with Dave Lato around 12:45 today.
Cool.
Big Ant Heron is going to join me in studio as per usual. On Monday, we'll talk about Akeem Hicks, and I want to talk about hate watching Sunday Night Football last night.
Because it was Deshaun?
It was Deshaun doing Deshaun stuff.
Yeah, yep.
And you're just sitting there going, he should be here. So I'm going to do that. You're listening to WSCR HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago, Sports Radio 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station. That's Dan Bernstein and Connor McKnight. They are the Bernstein and McKnight Show here with you every day, 9 a.m. until noon. The top of the hour is being brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Join Northwestern Basketball at the new Welsh Ryan Arena this season. Home opponents include Michigan State, Michigan, Purdue, and more. Season and single game tickets to see Chicago's Big Ten team are on sale now at nusports.com. And this hour is being brought to you by the Illinois Secretary of State's office. Visit www.realid.ilsos.gov. Harvey! Let's go!
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on the Lawrence Holmes Show.
Regardless of who our opponent is, you know, sometimes players play better against some opponents, but I said last night, three games, it's really been four after yesterday, it's been four games now that Mitch has really stacked some strong games together.
That's Matt Nagy at Hallis Hall. You know what I wish he would stop doing? I wish he would, the hyperbole, like, if you want to say that Mitch played three good games, okay, but then you don't have to then extend. And they scored 7 points against the Rams. And I know that the scoring isn't the only thing that you can judge a quarterback on, but you scored 7 points. So just be happy with the way that he played, because he balled out yesterday. But be cool. Like, it's not some referendum on what he is as a... I just wish he would just calm down. Like, put the gas away just a little bit.
Make me a bicycle, clown!
Hey, welcome in. Lawrence Holmes here with you until 2 o'clock today. We are broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios. Visit our local Hyundai dealer and test drive the Hyundai Palisade today. Here's what we have planned for you. We're going to talk a little bit of football today with Big Ann Heron. We're also going to talk a little bit about what's going on with DePaul basketball today. We're going to discuss the NFL as a whole. And I think that we need to have a family discussion, meaning you and I. Because we family, as Bernie Mac would say, we need to talk about what happened last night on Sunday Night Football and all that sort of stuff. The executive producer of this fine program on his first day on the job is Herb Lawrence. Rick Camp is right here. You will hear those two guys' voices throughout the show. They are part of the party, as are you. You can text us at 670-11. Herbie, you ready? You ready to do the rundown? All right, cool. Let's go. We start the show as we start all things with a rundown.
Run them down.
The rundown.
Why don't we take a look at the NFL? The Bears are obviously off, but there was a lot of stuff going on. Like, I don't know, on Sunday Night Football where Deshaun Watson was doing Deshaun Watson things.
Out of the gun, the gift to Johnson, who gives it back to DeAndre Hopkins, who pitches it to Deshaun Watson, running down the sidelines and running in for the touchdown. Oh my goodness, DeAndre Hopkins with the option pitch to Deshaun Watson and a touchdown for the Texans. Some razzle dazzle gives him a 27-9 lead.
So the pass was deemed to be forward, so it ends up being a touchdown reception instead of a rushing touchdown. Fun little note, the last quarterback to throw three touchdowns and receive one in a game, Jim McMahon, your Bears quarterback, and the guy who should have been the Bears quarterback. Speaking of which, hey, Deshaun, where did you get that idea for that play?
And can you tell me how that came about?
Yeah, I mean, we were watching the game, and actually, I think it was Chicago that did it. And Chicago did it, and, you know, we brought it up, and me and Adrian McCarron was looking at it. We was watching film one day, and it was like, actually, we probably can run that. So we kind of threw it out there to Tim Kelly and LB, and then the Hop saw it, and the Hop, of course, he was like, yeah, let's do it. So he was excited. So we kept working on it, and we, you know, knew it was the perfect time where once we get inside that five, it was going to come. So it was good.
He drew it out on a cocktail napkin and took it to his offensive coordinator, and the coordinator was like, hey, let's do it. I'm so mad that he's not a Bear. Okay, all right, we'll keep going. We'll keep going. Aaron Rodgers and his offense got things together against the really terrible Giants team that the Bears beat.
Rodgers goes quick count, back to throw, looking, steps up, throws end zone, Devontae, touchdown, and a leaping grab, left side of the end zone, oh my goodness.
Did you just throw Jodeci in there? Oh my God. I'm looking forward to the Venn diagram of the people who understand that. And then, if that wasn't enough, you had Lamar Jackson out here doing special stuff. Getting 100 rushing yards in the game yesterday. San Francisco played him tough. That was a really fun, low-scoring game. And then you turn it over to the one kicker in the NFL that you can actually trust.
I feel like in the spirit of my teammates who have been up here to talk to you guys the last few weeks, I should say something like real inspiring, like big trust.
Big trust. Justin Tucker comes through, makes a game-winning field goal. Now on to Bears conversation. This is what Mitchell Trubisky hopes happens for Anthony Miller, despite things going well so far for him.
It's always just staying humble and wanting more for yourself. So, I mean, he had a huge game, a bunch of catches, and I think 140 yards or something. But I was like, it could have been even bigger. And I always say that about my own game, too. Like, you leave some passes out there, you leave some catches out there, a couple routes here and there, and then just continue to do your job when you're not getting the football, opening up other guys. He did a great job in the run game, blocking for other guys, and the screen game as well. So just really doing your job the absolute best you can every single snap and trying to get close to perfect, even though it's not attainable. Just continue to stay hungry, and it's my job to continue to push these guys, especially Anthony, and he's done a great job responding, and he's been working his tail off.
Good, because those guys hooked up on a lot of passes in the game against Detroit. Mitch played great, which is what I expected him to, against a man, primarily man defense that for some reason Matt Patricia still wants to run, which I don't quite understand. But if Mitch sees a man defense, he's going to tear it apart. And at this point, the Bears just need to keep stacking wins, although we do need to start talking about some of the games that you should be cheering for other teams and which teams you should be cheering for, that sort of stuff. Oh, by the way, don't know if you know this, but Akeem Hicks was back at practice yesterday. It was the first day that he was allowed off of IR return. He gets to practice for a week. He's not eligible to play Thursday against the Cowboys. He will be eligible if they deem he's healthy enough to play against the Packers next week. Here's what Matt Nagy said about him yesterday.
It was good. It's nice to see him like out there on the field. You know, he's been on the sidelines, he's popping in and out, he's been around in meetings and all that, so he's never left us. You felt him, which is great, but to see him actually out there again on a very kicked back type of tempo practice was good.
We'll hear more from Matt Nagy coming up, because he talked a little bit about him today after another practice. We didn't run the Matt Nagy, but The most interesting stuff is what's going on with Akeem Hicks. That is your rundown for Monday, December 2nd, 2019. So on the show today, we are going to talk with Big Ant Heron. He will be here at 1 o'clock as per usual. We're going to talk with Dave Lato, the head coach of the DePaul Blue Demons, because believe it or not, DePaul is 8-0. We're going to do that around 12:45. I wanted to talk a little bit about this, and we can have some fun with it because we all know what happened, and there's some people like, oh, you should just let it go. I'm telling you, I try to let it go. I try to let go of the fact that they didn't draft Patrick Mahomes and that they didn't even sit down with Deshaun Watson, but it's just in your face. Watching Patrick Mahomes yesterday do all that stuff. He's running for touchdowns yesterday. He's putting the ball all over the field, being special. And I think that a lot of people have been okay with them not drafting Patrick Mahomes, because you're like, well, no one thought that Patrick Mahomes was going to be good, other than the Chiefs and the head coach of the team that is actually running your team right now. There were a lot of people who actually thought that he had a chance to be special. I think that for most Bears fans, you can let me know if I'm wrong, They're more mad. You're more mad about the Deshaun Watson thing. Because he sets up perfectly for whatever it is you were looking for. And it's hard to, there is no argument. There was no argument then, and there's definitely not an argument now for why you weren't paying closer attention to him. So big trust that I'm sitting at home trying to not get angry. But those two guys won't allow me to not get angry because they continue to play so well. You watch Deshaun Watson play against the Patriots defense, one of the better defenses in the NFL last night, and he lit them up. It wasn't exactly the same type of beatdown that Lamar Jackson gave him, but he lit them up last night. And the play that made me the most angry was, oh, it's not a touchdown. And Deshaun just being like, oh, okay, how about we just run it back? Same thing. I'm going to do that to the Patriots. I'm going to do that to Bill Belichick and the Patriots. And he's out there playing air guitar. He's having a good time. His team's leading their division. They're going to go to the playoffs this year. And you just sit there. I was seething. Sitting there going, they didn't even, like in my mind, just sitting there on the couch going, they didn't even sit down with him. And I'm trying to figure out, I'm trying so desperately, whether I'm talking to people or just in my own mind, I'm trying to figure out how that decision gets made. Like, if you prefer Trubisky to Watson or Mahomes, I'm not mad at you for that. It's an inexact science and it doesn't always work. But to not sit down with the guy that beat the Bama defense, which back then was pro level, tore them apart, a lot of pros on that team, won the national championship, clearly has impeccable character, had the same completion percentage as Mitch, played in the same conference as Mitch.
Didn't have a Camry.
Is that what it is?
Or Corolla, whatever it was.
He needed a beat-up car.
He had like his uncle's Oldsmobile Cutlass instead of his grandma's Camry.
He had a deuce and a quarter, and they were like, nope, can't have that driving into Hallis Hall.
Family values are a little messed up there. Not going to speak to him.
I mean, you have a guy that was touched by NFL Man of the Year, Warrick Dunn. A guy who took care of his family when his mom had cancer. Like, check all the boxes. Like every box, like everything you want. If you were drawing up the guy that you wanted to quarterback your team.
I mean, almost all the boxes.
Oh, but I'm saying, like, if we did blind resumes, okay? If we just put the resumes and you could put all the character stuff in too. If we just put all the resumes together. And we said, all right, well, here's this guy's resume. Well, what's on his resume? Oh, well, he won a national championship. Oh, that in itself is pretty impressive. He's a leader. And whenever people talk about him, they talk about his leadership skills. What does his coach say about him? Well, the coach said, if you pass on him, it'll be as bad as passing on Michael Jordan. Wow, that is something. Well, what else about him? Well, he grew up. And his family was having a really rough time, so Warrick Dunn got them a house. And then he used that as motivation to keep getting better and better and better. Oh, and by the way, his mom had cancer, so he took care of his brothers and sisters and her while that was going on. Man, this guy sounds too good to be true. I know. Did I mention that he won the national championship? And then you have Mitch's resume. This guy was Mr. Ohio football. Oh, that's great. Did he go to Ohio State? No. What do you mean he didn't go to Ohio State? He was Mr. Ohio football. No. He went to North Carolina. Oh, okay. So he started as a freshman. Nope. Oh, really? Why didn't he start as a freshman? Well, it was this other guy that was there named Marquise Williams. Oh, well, where's he playing? What team in the NFL is he playing on? He's not in the league. He was undrafted. Oh, okay, so then Mitch played the second year, right? No, he didn't, because Marquise was still there. Oh, okay, well, they won a lot of games that year, right? They were 11-1? Yeah, they were pretty good. What did Mitch do the next year? They were 8-5.